The title I want to preach tonight is to help you to remain strong and to keep on. To remain strong and to keep on. And I believe that's what we need in a mighty way in the world that we live in, is for men and women of God and children of God that's been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is just to remain strong and to keep on. Just remain strong and keep on. There's going to be battles come your way. There's going to be battles. There's going to be this walk that we walk called Christianity to get us. He's out to make us stumble single day of our life. And the adversary, he is out to get us. He's out to make us stumble, hiccup, or do whatever you want to call tonight, whatever he does in your life. I know what he does in mine and what he tries to do, and he's not welcome around me. Can I get a witness? I rebuke him and him all the time. All the time. All the time. Who in here has got a closet at their house? A closet. But Joy Barnes, you ain't got a closet. But Joy, you ain't got a closet. In that big old house, you ain't got a closet. Who in here has got a closet at their house? All right, here's what I want you to do this week. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you sometime this week to get in your closet. Shut the door. You said that's weird. Yep, Christianity's weird. Following Christ is weird. You're going to be different. I want you to get in that closet sometime this week. And when you're going out, you got to get your clothes out. You're going to have to get your clothes out. You're going to have to go in there. And I want you to go in there, set an alarm on your phone for 10 minutes. And I want you to shut that door for 10 minutes. No matter what chaos is going on out in the rest of the house, pull that door to for 10 minutes. Just 10. That ain't long. And pour your heart out to God. You say, well, I do it riding down the road. Oh, no, you can't do it completely riding down the road because you got distractions all around. You got to keep your eyes on the road so you don't wreck. Deer may run out. You're not fully right there where you need to be. And I'm not talking about going in your closet and cutting the light on. I'm talking about leaving the light off. Where you just go in that closet, you cut that light off, and you just sit down. Don't take a chair in there. It ain't no place to get comfortable. Just go in there. If it's a mess, you got to settle the mess. In our closet, God spoke to me. I pray in there a lot. And the other day, I went in that closet, and I told this at Revival the other night, and our closet on my side, I don't know why her clothes come to my side, but it does. And on my side, and I got it at home. If it fit my truck, I'm going to bring it and preach on it. My closet rod, where my clothes hang, was straight like that, Brother Brent, and then it curved all the way down and barely was hanging where them clothes was hanging. I don't know when it got that way, but I noticed it. And I said, well, it's in the closet. Nobody else can see it. And the Lord said, yeah, that's like your personal, that's like your spiritual life. Well, nobody knows about it. It's in the closet. Just close the door on it. Nobody will know. And I opened that back up, and I looked at it, and I told her, I said, that's not going to work. We're going to have to get one. And I explained that to her. And we went to Country Corner over here and bought a piece of pipe, black iron pipe, 3/4 inch. Y'all know how heavy that is? That's pretty good stuff. And I hung that thing up in my closet, took all the clothes down, hung it up, hung the exact same clothes back in there. That thing ain't bent none. It's straight as it can be. The material that was holding it up before was not of no value. It held for a little while. Now listen to me now. It'll hold for a little while, but it won't hold forever. What I put in here now, it's going to hold forever. It'll jerk the studs out of the wall before it falls. Tonight, my salvation has got to be that way in Christ Jesus. I got to know no matter what comes my way, it's going to hold, and it ain't going to sway, it ain't going to bend, it ain't going to buckle, but it's going to stay. And tonight, if you're a child of God, I want to give you 3 areas that you can remain strong and you can keep on. And you won't fall to the wayside, you won't fall to the curb, you won't quit, you won't give up, but you'll stay strong in what God's called you to do. And we will learn that from the wisest man that ever lived. Proverbs chapter number 1. Besides Christ Jesus, okay? Besides Christ Jesus, Solomon, the Bible says Solomon was a very wise man. So if I'm going to learn how to follow Christ Jesus and walk the way I should, I want to listen to somebody pretty wise, right? Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 6 and go through verse number 10. And I want to give you 3 things tonight that you can do. This morning there was nothing it was nothing on you, it was all on God. But this is something you can do to help your walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus. This will help you so much. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 6, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And this is what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace, what we just sung about. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, I come just in awe of your grace and your mercy and what you do inside these four walls. Father, I thank you for it and how it's taken out into a lost and dying world. Father, I pray as the challenge has done been put out tonight, Lord, that we climb into our prayer closet. We get into a place, Father, that we can talk to you. 10 minutes out of a day is not very much, but Father, I know if I can get somewhere where there's not no distraction, nothing going on, it's just me and you, I'll speak to my heart in a mighty way. Father, I pray tonight that you speak to every one of your people in this place tonight, the one that's willing to give up and quit. Lord, I pray tonight that they remain strong, that they can keep on in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray tonight, Father, you use this message in a mighty way. You strengthen the one that needs to be strengthened, encourage the one that needs to be encouraged, give compassion to the one that needs compassion, and give somebody that needs a little power tonight some Holy Ghost power in this place. Father, we love you. We thank you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you and nothing about me. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Remain strong and keep on. As we come tonight and we read here in the book of Proverbs, Solomon, according to the word of God, was so wise, and we can learn so much from Solomon here. Solomon was a wise man. He had a lot of wisdom, had a lot of knowledge in his life. And as we come here in the book of Proverbs, we know that Solomon wrote three books of the Bible. He wrote Proverbs, he wrote Ecclesiastes, and he wrote the Song of Solomon. And tonight, as we get here tonight and we understand that, he gave a lot of wisdom there. And he said to understand a proverb tonight, we can get understanding from that. I want to give you three things tonight that in your Christian walk that you can do to remain strong on your end. We know that God saved us. It was his doings on the cross of Calvary. All we have to do is accept that gift. We know that our Christian walk, you can't walk a Christian walk and being lost. The only way you can walk that walk is by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We learned this morning that there's some battles that you're not going to win unless God fights them for you and you get out of the way and let him win them battles. But tonight, there's three areas here that I see in this text that really stuck out to me in my life that if I'm going to remain strong and keep on. Number one tonight is I must fear the Lord. I must fear the Lord in everything I do, in every area of my life. Tonight, he says here, if you will, in verse number 6, he said, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To fear the Lord tonight and what he does in our life. If you'll look with me tonight to Proverbs chapter number 14, in verse number 27 tonight, I want to show you this in the Bible. To fear the Lord tonight. You say, preacher, I don't fear no man. Well, I say tonight, I'd fear God. Amen. Hey, tonight, he's the one that gave you the breath in your lungs. He's the one that's giving you everything you have tonight. And if you're going to remain strong and keep on, number one, you must fear the Lord. Tonight, I believe a lot of people that's been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, they've lost their fear of the Lord. They don't fear what God can do to them anymore. They think they're saved and heaven bound. Hey, I got good news tonight. That same God that saved you is the same God that can chastise you. He can put it on you like you ain't never seen. Friends, tonight we must fear the Lord. There's some things that we can't do in our life because we fear the Lord. Tonight you say, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? Do you believe tonight that a man of God and a woman of God should walk around in fear? Why, Lord, no, don't walk around in fear. Hey, but fear the one that made you. Amen? Hey, we quit doing a lot of sinful living if we feared the God that saved our soul. Look what he says tonight in Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 27. The Bible says, and I want you to get this tonight, if your life is not like a fountain that's overflowing, hey, start fearing God. Say, I can't do that. I can't post that on social media because it don't line up with the Word of God. I can't use that language because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I can't sit there and drink a margarita with the rest of the old buddies because it don't line up with the Word of God. Is anybody listening listening to me tonight. Hey, get away from the crowd and get with the Christ of Calvary. Amen. And he says tonight in Proverbs 14 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. When you fear God and what he, it's a fountain that comes up inside of you. It'll raise up inside of you. He said the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You say, what kind of fountain is this preacher tonight? What kind of is he talking about tonight? Can I say to you tonight, it is a fountain that flows. This fountain, when you start fearing God and you get away from the things of this world and you line up with the Word of God, it'll start flowing out of you. It'll flow out of your belly like a rivers, like rivers untold. It'll just flow out of you. Have you ever just been with somebody talking about God and you didn't know where them scriptures come from? You didn't remember memorizing them? You didn't know what you said, but hey, that you feared God and you started studying that Word and it was like a fountain that came flowing up. Can I say to you tonight, that fountain, it'll flow tonight. He said it's a fountain that'll come out from the inside out. It'll come out of you tonight. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Number one, I see that fountain, it flows tonight. But I see number two, that fountain that'll come out of an individual that fears God, it'll be a fresh fountain. It won't be no bitter water. Anything coming out of their mouth won't be bitter, but it'll be fresh. Man, it'll flow right out and it'll be fresh like never before. I know all these old spring wells over here, when they come out, there's people goes and gets water from them and they fill up all kind of jugs and they take them to the house and they drink that water that's over here at Beaverton and that is fresh water. But there was one day we had been escorting and man, it got hot and we was down in Millport, Alabama, coming across them railroad tracks. I'm fixing to give you some education now. Don't you stop there and drink. It'll mess you up. Hey, we come across them tracks at Millport, Alabama, and we went over that first railroad track, Brother Kevin, and right there on the left, there's a little spring that comes out and they got a PVC pipe of metal coming out. Water's coming out about an inch and it's pouring out of there. Lily pads all around it. I would have known it wasn't fresh water, but old Hammer, the white bitch, we was escorting together. I was escorting him and he said, are you thirsty? I said, man, I'm about to thirst to death and I just need a good drink of water. And he knew what it was coming out, but he was going to aggravate me. He said, run over there and get you a drink of that and we'll stop. We pulled off to the right there where they got campers set up, people living in, and I walked across the road and he walked over and I got down there like an old dog and put my mouth on that water. About one good gulp of that, man, it was so bitter. I'm telling you, it was of no count. I got spitting that mess out. I didn't want no more of it. Can I say to you tonight, a child of God ought not want that bitter mess. They ought to want something that's fresh. They ought to want something that's new. They ought to want that Word of God tonight. And when you fear the Lord, number one, it's going to flow out of you. It's going to be fresh. Hey, but that well that comes out of you, it will not run dry. Amen. Hey, it'll continue flow. I see it flows, I see it's fresh, and I see it's full. He said that this. He said, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It is full when it comes out. It's full when it comes out. I want you to know tonight, it ain't nothing like being full of the Lord in our life, being full of what God's called us to do. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Have you ever told somebody, if you do that and you go down that road, it's not going to work, and they do it anyway? You know what that is? That's a fool tonight. Hey, he don't want to hear instructions. He don't want wisdom. He thinks he knows it all. Friends, tonight, can I give you anything tonight? If somebody's been down that road and it ended up bad for them, guess what? Tonight, it's going to end up bad for you. Solomon said here that it is dangerous when you go in them places, when you get to that place and you don't fear God. But let's look at number two tonight. Number one, we must fear the Lord if we're going to remain strong and keep on. We must fear the Lord. To fear the Lord and what He's called us to do. And if I'm going to fear the Lord, there's something else He says here that I got to do. I got to follow instructions. If I'm going to fear the Lord, I've got to follow His instructions. Look what He says here with me, if you will, in verse number 8. He said, my son, I see I fear the Lord in verse 7. If I'm going to keep on and remain strong, number one, I got to fear the Lord. Number two, I must follow instructions. I've got to do it the way He says to do it. You can't skip a corner. You can't skip and do and think, well, nobody, He knows. It don't matter who else knows, He knows. And that is the most important thing, He knows. Look what He says tonight. He said, my son, He's talking here, He said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. What? the instructions and the wisdom that our parents give us, but not only that, but our Heavenly Father that He gives us as we walk this life, as we walk what God's called us to do. When you give your kids instructions, you give them clear instructions and tell them not to do this, don't go that way. The other day, Kaylee was in the house, and she said, "Daddy, I want to go over there to Gatman to Tiger Mart, and I want to get some of that cheap gas. I want to go over there and get it." And I said, "Okay, baby." She said, "How should I go?" I said, "You go down here, hang a left, go to Sullivan, go across the railroad tracks, hang a right, and you'll run right into it down there in Gatman." She said, "Daddy, is that the quickest way?" I said, "That is the quickest way from our house that you can get there. Some of you may think different, but I said, that is the quickest way. If you go any other way, it could not lead you there." So you know what she done? She pulled up Google. She put in Tiger Mart, and it said, she texted me at the end of the road. She said, "Daddy, I looked at it, and there's three ways to get there." I said that to myself, to Brandy. I said, "There is not three ways to get to Gatman, Mississippi from Detroit, Alabama. There's two ways, but there's not three ways. Two ways, you go to Sullivan, hang a right, go across railroad tracks like I told her. Second way, you go down, take Splunge Road. Brother Jackie, would you agree? But you're not going across Gatman Bottom. Son, that bridge has been out for years. You ain't getting across it. And they ain't putting it back in no time soon." Brandy said, "What's she doing?" I said, "She's going to the wrong Tiger Mart." "You think she's going to the wrong Tiger Mart?" I said, "I know she is." She said, I said, "You think I should call her?" Here's what Mama said. Here's what Mama said. "She's got to learn a lesson. Just let her go." You done told her the way to go. She's got your debit card. It ain't cost her a penny. All you got to do is go this way, and it's going to work. But everybody in this room has been exactly where she's been. Daddy and Mama don't know nothing. Daddy and Mamas are the craziest people in the world. They ain't got no sense. They ain't even got good sense. But yet, we tell them, "Hey, this is the way you should go." So, when I realized she got gas and it dinged on her card, I called her up and I said, "You get that cheap gas?" "Well, I didn't go to the one I was wanting to go to. I went to another one." Folks, tonight, if you want to get to your destination, you got to follow the book. I'm not talking about following this preacher. I'm not talking about following these deacons here. I'm talking about following that book. If I get wrong out of that book, don't you follow me, you call me out. If these deacons get away from this book, don't you follow them, you call them out. If any Sunday school teacher, any worship leader in this place get off that book, you call them out. When I'm dead and gone and you're still here, you remember this, that book will stand when hell's on fire, amen? You make sure that you know that book's going to stand. Don't you waver on it. They may take it out of the government. They may take it out of the White House. They may take it out of the schoolhouse. They may take it out of your house, but they can't take it out of your heart. And you stand on, thus saith the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? The Ten Commandments still stand today as they did back then." If you say, "Well, it's all about grace," you've done missed it all. It's about grace. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled the law when He came, and He's the only one that could do it. When you put your faith in Him, that law comes alive in your life. I want to share with you tonight that grace that can be in your life, but that law that you can bind around your neck, it'll be an ornament of grace around your head. If you'll just try your best, if you'll try your best on these Ten Commandments, I'm not talking about keeping them for salvation. I'm talking about keeping them to remain strong and do what God's called you to do. You can't keep them, but just because you can't keep them don't mean do them. You're going to break one of them, I'm sure. But just because you're going to break one of them, don't break all 10. Is anybody with me tonight? Just don't go haywire with it. If you're going to remain strong, you're going to have to line up with them 10. You're going to have to line up what God's called you to do. If Solomon knew that, I should know that, and you should know that. Because the same God that lived in him lives in us. Let me give you this tonight. Let me give you what he read here as we get into the text tonight. Number one, we must fear the Lord. Number two, we must follow instructions. And the instructions are very, I wrote this down, instructions are very, very, very important. Instructions from the father and the law of the mother. Exodus 20, you don't have to turn now. I'm just going to go over with you. If you start in verse 3 and go through 17, here is the Ten Commandments that he laid out before us. Got them on my refrigerator right now. I have them there. They're dear to the local body, by the way. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You won't put nothing in the place. Nothing will keep you from serving God. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number one. Number two, Exodus 20, verse 3 and 4. On down, you can read them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. You don't worship nothing over him. He is God and God alone. He's not second to nobody. He's not second to your family. You don't put your family before him. You put him. You don't, listen, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God. Now, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He is high. He is the highest. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. You don't worship nothing but God alone. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know what old people used to say? You know how they're living long lives? You know what they used to say? And there's some older folks in here, but Brandy's grandmother loves this. She says, she's in her 80s. And one thing Miss Willardine always says is, you can go over there and say, how you doing? I said, doing good. Start talking about the Bible. She said, you know, son, you know there's one thing I've never done. I said, what's that, Miss Willardine? She said, I never sashed my mom or daddy. What mom and daddy said, I obeyed it. I never sashed them. I never talked back to them, lashed back to them. Honor, where'd you get that from? Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Or lie. That's lying. Lying against your neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. Have covetousness in your heart. Tonight as we get into this and we see what the proverb said here tonight, I want to be on down here where we can go. The third thing I want to give you tonight, number one, if you're going to remain strong and keep on, you're going to have to fear the Lord. Let me tell you what I told the Lord. I didn't make a deal with him. We just the way it is. Y'all talk to God that way. I told him, I said, listen, Lord, when he saved my soul, man, I was sick and tired of doing crystal meth. Man, I'd done crystal meth. I couldn't get off of it, folks. I'd been to rehab. I'd done every, man, I promised my wife, my mom, everybody. I'd swear on my daughter that I wouldn't do it again. I didn't want to listen to me tonight. I tell y'all my heart. I don't tell this everywhere I go because I want you to grow up and get strong in what God's called you to do and you remain strong. And you get over all this addiction in your life and get it under you. You say, well, a saved man, no. Yes, he can. You can get under it. He can get under you by the blood of Jesus. And I finally got to a place that I was tired. I was tired, man. I was tired of using. I didn't get nothing out of it when I did use. I was lost, going to hell. Man, I didn't want to do it no more, but I just keep doing it. I don't even know why, but I got where I didn't want to do it. And finally, one day after I got saved, I hadn't used in about 30 or 40 days probably. And I got to a place and I told him, I said, Lord, listen, I got to know that I don't do it again. And I want to make you a promise. If I ever touch it again, will you please take my life? That's the fear of the Lord. That's serious. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Why would you? Because I want to remain to the end. I don't want to die of an overdose. What kind of testimony is that? I don't want to go that way. I was clean first time in my life, and I was clearly thinking, Brother Roy. I was clearly thinking in my head, and I said, Lord. And Brandy was there with me, and I told her, I said, this is what I told the Lord. I said, if I ever touch that stuff again, will you please take my life from me? Because not serving you is not worth living. I had finally seen what sobriety, cleanliness, godliness, righteousness, all this was in my life, and I could see God so clearly, Brother Mason. And I didn't want that life no more. What started out with drinking and having fun with the buddies, it turned into something that they was not there. They was no longer there. I isolated myself with what I wanted, and it was killing me, and it was destroying me on the inside. And I said, I no longer want to go down this path. I want you to set me free. I was saved, and then I was set free. There's some people saved still under bondage. They're still under bondage because they've never been set free. You can be saved and still under bondage and stuff. You can. You can be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and still be under bondage. But boy, when the Son sets you free from things in your life, He just said, and there's some people He sets you free from too, by the way. But He set me free. And tonight I want to share this with you. The last thing I see, number one, I got to fear the Lord. Man, I got to fear Him. Number two, I got to follow instructions. Just like He says, I can't waver on it. I got to stay with what He called me to do. If I mess up, I repent immediately. I don't let it go on 3 or 4 months immediately. Say, preacher, where do you do it at? Wherever I'm at. Whenever it hits me. Walmart, KFC, Subway, wherever it is, I get on my knees. You don't do that. Oh, yeah, I do. I get down. I don't wait till I get, because I may not make it home, Brother Roy. I don't wait till tomorrow, because I may not make it to tomorrow. Number one, I got to fear the Lord. If I'm going to remain strong and keep on, I got to fear the Lord. I got to follow instructions. And listen, I had to learn this. I have to flee the wrong crowd. Got to get away from the wrong crowd. The crowd that's hindering me, messing me up. Oh, preacher, I'm going to win them to Jesus. You ain't going to win nobody to Jesus. You put 10 dope heads in a room, send one saved man in there, he's destroyed. You ain't winning nobody. Going down there to the slab house, if it was open, you ain't winning nobody to Jesus. You ain't getting it that way. You've got to come out from among them and be ye separate. You've got to come out. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You've got to come out. You say, well, I want to go there. You can't go there. He'll put them where you need to be when you need to be there, but he's not going to put you in that honky-tonk trying to lead somebody to Jesus. He's not going to lead you into that. He's not going to lead you into that place. He's not going to send you into there. And you've got to get away from the wrong crowd. Flee it. Flee it. Get away. Get out of it. Stay away from it. Do not get tied up in it. Look with me in the Bible. I want to show you this. You've got to fear him. You've got to follow him. And you've got to flee the wrong crowd. Let me show you this tonight. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 10. After you done had the ornament of grace and chains about thy neck, can I say to you, favor ain't fair? Favor ain't fair? You let God, you get the favor of God on your life, Satan's wanting it. You get the favor of God on your life, lost people are wanting you. They want you to slip and fall. And even some saved people would love to see other saved people slip up, mess up, and get out. And that's wrong. There's nothing tickles me more to know somebody's overcame by the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony. Don't you destroy your testimony. Look at this tonight. Flee from the wrong crowd. Verse number 10. My son, if sinners, he said, preacher, I'm going to go witness to them. I'm going to get right where they're at. Be careful. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Means don't give in. Don't you give in tonight. Can I say to you tonight, number one, flee from the wrong crowd, because number one, they have the wrong influence on your life. They have the wrong influence on your life. Turn with me to Ephesians 5, verse 11 tonight. They have the wrong influence on your life. When I first got clean and got saved, and then he set me free, I got clean, and my sobriety means a whole lot to me. I mean, it means a lot to me, my sobriety. I used to want to run with the same old boys. And one thing would make me madder than anything, Brandy would say this. She'd say, what are you doing with them? I was like, what? What are you doing with them? What? I said, baby, I ain't doing it. Well, why are you with them? That infuriate. Boy, I'd get just mad. I said, we ain't done nothing wrong. She said, why are you with them? Why are you around them if you ain't doing nothing? And then I'd want to fight with her so I could, win my way. Don't tell anybody know what I'm talking about. If I pick a fight with her, I don't want. I don't come out on the other side. But as I've grown in Christ Jesus, she was telling me the truth. Look at this, Ephesians 5:11. And somebody that's lost is in the darkness. No matter how nice they are to you, no matter how big a buddy they are to you and how much you love them. Look what he says. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I see tonight, number one, the influence is wrong. Their intention's wrong. They try to entice you to do wrong. And I wrote this down. You can tell how a person is doing in their spiritual life by the crowd they keep. You can tell how a person is doing by the crowd they keep. It ain't what comes out of their mouth every time, because a lot of us has the lingo to know when not to say it, when to say it. We know when to hold it in, when not to hold it, not to talk about when it don't need to get back. But there's one thing that'll give you away quicker than anything, and that's the crowd you keep. Tonight, can I give you anything? You be careful about the crowd you keep. You be very careful about the crowd that you keep. You fear the Lord, you follow his instructions, and you flee from the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd will mess you up quicker than anything. The wrong crowd could be your friends. Your best friends could be the wrong crowd. Your family could be the wrong crowd. A lot of your best acquaintances could be the wrong. And you know who I'm talking about. You know who tries to entice you to do things that's not right. And tonight in closing, I want to turn here and give you one illustration about fleeing temptation. Fleeing the wrong crowd. Genesis 39 and verse number 7. Genesis 39 and verse number 7. For a saved person tonight, watch where you go and watch what you do. Be careful. Be careful. Here we're going to talk about Joseph. And you remember Joseph. Joseph got sold out. His brothers sold him out. His family sold him out. And here he comes, and he gets into Potiphar's house. Y'all remember that story in the Bible? He's at Potiphar's house, and he goes in. And I'm talking about being around the wrong crowd at the wrong time, wrong place, minding your own business, doing what's right. You don't have to be guilty to be found guilty. You don't have to be guilty to be found guilty. Association with the wrong crowd can make you guilty. Joseph was a man of God doing the will of God, but the wrong crowd came around. Look what he says tonight in Genesis 39, verse number 7, the Bible says, and it came to pass. You said, preacher, how, because the Bible says it will. If you don't get away from the wrong crowd, it's going to come to pass. That's Bible. If you don't get away from the wrong crowd, the Bible says it came to pass. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. She done got talking to him. First thing the wrong crowd will do is they'll talk to you. But he refused. He refused. He fled. Look what he did. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he had to my hand. Everything he had, he gave to him. He entrusted him. Can I say to you tonight, everything that God has, he's entrusted you with. You said, are you sure, preacher, he gave you his son? That's a lot. That's it. You don't, that's all. That's everything. And he's entrusted you with that tonight. Look what he says in verse number 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. The wrong crowd will make you do something that ain't right. The wrong crowd will lead you down the wrong road, and it'll get you, keep you from being strong and remaining. The wrong crowd will do this, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? Sin against Potiphar? Ain't what your Bible says. How can I do this and sin against God? And it came to pass. How do you know it happened, Pastor? Because the Bible says it did. And it came to pass as he spake to Joseph, as she spake to Joseph day by day. The wrong crowd won't even talk to you, but they'll talk to you day after day after day after day. When old Satan gets you beat down and he's whispered in your ear and he thinks he's got a foothold, he ain't going to let up. It's going to be day after day after day after day. That he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, minding his own business, doing his own thing. And there was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. The wrong crowd will mess you up. And he left his garment in her hand. He got way too close. If you'll get away from the crowd, you won't be that close. Folks, you can't run with the lost man. You can't do it. It's going to mess you up. Look here. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. Then she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried. He left his garment with me and fled and got him out of here. And she said, She laid upon his garment upon her until his Lord came home. Preacher, what does that mean? The wrong crowd will mess you up. The wrong crowd will mess you up. I've seen a lot of good people born again, on fire for God, get into the local body. And it wouldn't be long, they get slipping back in with their old buddies. They try to slip back in with their old crowd. They try to do what the old crowd's doing. Folks, I love it. I love it when the old crowd comes to church, gets saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. I love it. Tickles me to death. But I can't go out there and run with the old crowd. Can't do it, Brother Roy. Can't do it. Number one, because I fear the Lord. Number two, I got to do what the Bible says. I got to follow instructions. That's what he told me not to do. You follow him. You stay with it. You stay with the book. And he told me to flee the wrong crowd. Can I say to you tonight, the crowd wasn't always the problem. I was most of the problem most of the time. But I know where the problem lies. Tonight, your problem may not be what my problem is. Your pain may not be what my pain is. But you may be sitting there right now and saying, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been dabbling where I ain't supposed to dabble. I've been doing what I ain't supposed to do. I don't need to be doing that. If you're going to remain strong and keep on, you're going to have to get to that place where some people are let go. Some people are let go. I got some friends that, man, I'm telling you what, I'd have probably laid my life down for them. I love them that much. And I've not spoke to them in 20 years. 20 years not spoke to them. They're still on the old path. They're still on the old ways, doing the old things. Are you mean to them, preacher? No, sir. Love them. See them in passing? Invite them to church? Keep on rocking. Why? Because I got a testimony to uphold. I got a God to serve. And I got a home waiting me in heaven. Tonight, Solomon said, if a sinner entice thee, consent not. Stay away. Tonight, if I can give you anything, if you're going to remain strong and keep on, you keep your head where it needs to be. That's in the book. Keep your nose down. Keep that thing down. Just keep doing it. Mind your own business and do your own thing. And let God lead you like he wants to lead you in your life. Tonight, I'd ask you a question of this. Are you willing to remain strong and keep on? Time of invitation. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. I thank you for the Bible tonight. I thank you for how it encourages me in my life to just fear you, Father, and follow what you've laid out before me. It's so simple, but sometimes we just don't do it. And to flee the wrong crowd, to get away from that crowd that pulls me down, that try, but Lord, just stay with your people. Father, in this place tonight, a saved person ought to not pull another saved person down. The Bible says that ain't how it works. It says iron sharpeneth iron. So, Father, tonight we ought to be sharpening one another, helping one another, encouraging one another, making sure we on the same path and just loving you and doing what you've called us to do. And Father, tonight, if somebody's struggling with that tonight, I'd ask them to be obedient to the Spirit tonight and come to an old-timey altar and just do business with an old-timey God. Father, I thank you that following you has been written in this book. I thank you for that tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say, amen. I ask you to stand.